This week's Parsha, Parshas Vayigash, the Tzenaren explores a very important theme. How do we deal with people who we don't see eye to eye with, who we have to deal with, but we need to make changes in the relationship? How do we create better relationships when we've been wronged or feel the other person is wrong? They're coming too late, they're coming too early, they're not taking their share of the weight in doing the chores. How do we get what we want, but also keep the relationship intact? Living in our society, we may not even realize how much today's culture has impacted us. When we feel that we are wrong, we speak out, we speak against, and we defend our rights. In this week's Parsha, we learn a different way about when to be conciliatory, about how to be assertive, when to be aggressive, and the value of speaking politely. The Tzenarena discusses this by talking about the interactions of two people, Yehuda and Yosef, and their conversation that they have at the beginning of the Parsha. In last week's Parsha, Yosef planted his silver goblet in the bag of Binyamin, and he threatens to take him as a slave. The conversation from Yosef starts aggressively with accusations and condemnations and threats. The brothers try to negotiate, and in this week's Parsha, Yehuda and Yosef start a debate, which ends with Yosef revealing himself right before would have devolved into chaos. Let's examine the sides of the conversation. The Parsha begins with Yehuda approaching Yosef. The Tzenarena says that Yehuda started the dialogue by speaking soft, pleasant words. It quotes Mishle that encourages this practice, where it says, "Ma'ane rach meshiv chema," one who speaks softly makes anger go away. This was a tactic that Yehuda tried first. He knew Yosef was upset, and his goal was not to be right, but to leave the country. So he tried to calm down the situation, even though he knew that Yosef was wrong. When Yaakov, in contrast, had tried to confront an angry and a violent Esav, he used different tactics. He bribed, he davened, and he prepared to fight. This was a tactic when words would have no impact and they would not be able to achieve anything to repair the relationship. Now, this confrontation is not a question of who is physically stronger, but one of wits and one of developing a relationship with the other party. The Tzenarena says that Yehuda prepared to take three approaches in this conversation. Din, justice. He appealed to Yosef's sense of morality to negotiate based on what he felt was right and wrong. He used kind words. He tried to use flattery. He acknowledged Yosef's position, and he tried to connect to Yosef emotionally to encourage Yosef to give up Binyamin. And finally, as the Tzenarena just calls it, he prepared for war. He was ready to be aggressive, and he threatened to fight back. The phrases that Yehuda uses throughout the beginning of the Parsha can be interpreted in all three ways. He starts off with the phrase, "Bi Adoni," please my master. He is showing Yosef that he considers him somebody important and he respects his position. The phrase can also mean that is taking responsibility. If you want to know why I'm getting into this, my master, I made a promise that I would bring Binyamin home. This is an appeal to Yosef's sense of right and wrong, and it is a polite way of talking. The next phrase also has multiple meanings. He says, "Kamocha kiparo," you are like Paro. On one level, it means, I respect you. I acknowledge your position and your prominence. I value who you are, not because of what you give to me, but just because of what you represent. The more aggressive explanation is that you are like Paro, and you're going to end up just like him. I am letting you know that there are consequences to your behavior. A few generations ago, Paro took Sarah to the palace, and he ended up with Saras. This is what's going to happen to you if you dare take Binyamin. You too will end up with Saras. It was communication explaining what would happen if the action had been carried out. There are both meanings. There's the negotiation from kindness and humility, and negotiations coming from a place of strength. Yehuda continues. He says to Yosef, you asked about your servant, if we had fathers or brothers. Why is he emphasizing this point? Why is he bringing back what happened in the past and saying, Yosef, this is what you did? He was asking Yosef a question. He was saying, why did you ask this? Why did you need to know all about our family history? We were just coming to buy food. The Tzenarena says, we weren't making a shidduch with you. He was appealing to Yosef's justice and pointing out the unfairness of the situation, that they had kept their side of the bargain and Yosef had betrayed their trust. Yehuda continues, we told you about our elderly father and the child who had been born to him in his old age. And we told you that one died because we had been 12 brothers. Yehuda tells Yosef now that one of the brothers had died. He explains why he made this point. If we had told you that we were 12 brothers, you would have made us search for the lost brother to bring him to you before we got our food. So we said he died. And as a proof for this position and that Yehuda was right in doing so, Yehuda reminds Yosef that Yosef had said that they should bring the younger brother. And Yehuda had responded, "My master, this boy can't leave his father because his father would die from pain and worry. And Yosef, you said to us, if we don't bring him, you don't come back to me and I won't give you food." And so when Yehuda had approached Yaakov, his father, and said, "I need to bring Binyamin down, otherwise we'll starve," Yehuda reminds Yosef, he said, "My father told us that I had two sons from the wife I love, who only gave me two sons. Yosef isn't here now. You want to take Binyamin? Something terrible, chas v'shalom, could happen to him because he isn't used to traveling, and I would die from immense pain." The Tzena Arena continues to speak in the voice of Yaakov. "When Binyamin is here, he is my last comfort, that I comfort myself on the loss of his mother and on my son. But now that you take him, it will feel like they are all dying in one day." Yehuda is appealing to Yosef's sense of rachmanus, to his sense of mercy, to his side of goodness. He's recognizing that he can be good and he can be kind. And he is asking him as a petitioner to treat them with kindness. Rabbeinu Bachaye says that Yehuda is warning Yosef that Yaakov accidentally cursed Rachel when she took the trophim, and his curse came to pass. Yaakov can curse you, Yosef, as well, and it will be a great rachmanus on you. You will not escape unscathed. There will be consequences for this behavior, and you should know that Binyamin is a tzaddik. In his portion, the future Beis HaMikdash will be built, and therefore, it's in your best interest to give him to us now before things deteriorate. The communication had both strength and humility in the same words. Yehuda continues to appeal to Yosef. He says, "I made a collateral with my father that if I don't bring him back, then I will owe my father in this world and the next." Yosef's communication in response to Yehuda's kind, conciliatory communication is direct and antagonistic and slightly sarcastic. He says, "In my cup, I see that you once sold your brother. Why didn't you take a collateral for him? Why did you let this happen to him?" He's aggressive and confrontational in his tone, and he gets a similar response. When Yehuda hears the way Yosef is talking, he says to Naphtali, "Quickly, go and see how many marketplaces and roads there are in Egypt." Naphtali says there are 12. Yehuda says to his brothers, "I'll destroy 3, the rest of you take 1. So the Shvatim respond to Yehuda and say, "If we destroy Mitzrayim, we'll be destroying the entire known world, because almost everyone in the world is coming down to Mitzrayim to get food. We can't take that level of responsibility right now. We can't kill the whole world at this point." Yehuda understands he's in a tight spot. So Yehuda once again starts to debate with Yosef, but he loses the polite edge. Hearing Yosef's sarcasm, the tension has been raised, and he is far more aggressive. He says, "You brought us here because of a libel, and you said we were spies, and you said we stole the cup. I swear by my father, just like you swear by Paro, that in a little bit, if you don't give us back Binyamin, I'm going to color all of Egypt in red, meaning I'm going to paint this town in blood. I'm going to kill you all." The tension and threats keep on escalating as each responds in kind. So Yosef says to him, "Oh, you aren't just coloring things now, are you? You did this before when you colored the coat of Yosef with blood and brought it to your father. And you said that to your father that a wild beast ate Yosef." The Rabbeinu Bachaye continues the conversation, showing how each brother continues to be confrontational and aggressive and sarcastic and angry in escalating tones with the others. And this conversation can be found in the Rabbeinu Bachaye, but is not mentioned fully in the Tzena Arena. After the last sarcastic remark from a man who is clearly out to get him, the Shvatim decide that there is no chance of talking this out. Shvatim decide to destroy Mitzrayim. That's when Yosef got scared and told everyone to leave, and he would stay alone with his brothers. Yosef was being sensitive to his brothers' feelings. He didn't want the brothers to be embarrassed that they sold him by having this revealed in front of all the Mitzrayim. Also, the Tzena Arena mentions that the Egyptians would have looked at Yosef suspiciously. "You're the ruler. You're a kind person, but this is the family you come from, that you sell each other? What kind of family are you? What kind of person are you?" And finally, they might trust Yosef based on his track record, but they wouldn't let the brothers come down to live in Egypt if they knew that they were capable of selling their own sibling. Yosef decided to send everybody from all the Mitzrayim out of the room. And this was very brave of Yosef. At this point, it was just the brothers of Yosef and himself. And they just had a very angry exchange. Rabbi Shmuel Bar Nachami says that Yosef was in a lot of danger because no one else was in the house when Yosef told the brothers and they could have killed him and no one would know. The Midrash says that Yosef said to his brothers, "You said that Binyamin's brother died. I will show him to you right now." He starts to call Yosef, Yosef, and the brothers look here and there. And Yosef says, "Why are you looking everywhere? Aren't I Yosef?" And the brothers couldn't answer because they are too confused. Yosef had showed them their sin. They were in shock. Yosef now starts to change the tenor of the conversation. He had been aggressive and hateful to the Shvatim. Now he needs to reconnect and repair the relationship. And he does this through his word. He asks, "Is my father still alive?" Of course he knew the answer. He had been hearing that their father would die if Binyamin came down and had been captured. So why is he asking, "Is my father alive?" The Tzena Arena, quoting the Toldos Yitzchak, explains that Yosef realized that the brothers were afraid that he would kill them because they had sold him down to slavery. So he says to them, "My father is alive." And he asks, "Is my father still alive?" Reminding his brothers of another set of siblings who hated each other, Yaakov and Esav. And back when Esav had been so angry at Yaakov, Esav had made a commitment. He said, "I will not kill my brother Yaakov as long as my father is alive." If evil Esav would not kill Yaakov out of respect for his father, Yosef is reassuring his brothers that he too would certainly not hurt them because he wouldn't want to cause his father pain. Yosef sees how upset the brothers are, and so he continues to try to reassure his brothers with words of reconciliation. He says, "Gishu na elai," please, with a polite, kind phrase, not a phrase that would be used by a king, "please come close to me. I am Yosef, your brother. You sold me here, but don't be afraid that you sold me, because as you see, Hashem is the one who sent me here so that I could be in charge of Mitzrayim, and Hashem has sent me before we all have to come down to Mitzrayim to be here for a long time. So Hashem has sent me down here to set everything up. Don't be upset. Because Hashem is the one who brought me to Mitzrayim. You may have sold me, but it is Hashem who decided where I would end up." The brothers approach Yosef, and Rabbeinu Bachaya writes that Yosef continues to placate them and uses his words to reconnect this relationship that has been so broken. He says, "Even though you sold me down to Mitzrayim, even with all that, I'm still your brother. And I won't treat you as the ruler of Egypt. Rather, I will always be your brother. And I will treat you as a sibling and with respect that is due you based on your positions and not just because I am the ruler of this of the nation." Now the relationship has been repaired. The brothers beg Yosef not to tell Yaakov about what they did, and Yosef agrees. Yosef and Binyamin embrace. Yaakov will now be brought down to Mitzrayim with all of his family, and peace has been restored. This week's Parsha has had a special focus. Back when we were talking about the conflict between Yaakov and Esav, there was no relationship, there was no chance of repair. Yaakov could only appeal to Esav's force-based nature by bribing him and being prepared for war. Here, we see a different way to repair a relationship and how we can break a relationship, not based on what we do, but on how we speak. Yehuda tried to convince Yosef with three different manners of speech in order to try to fix what their area of conflict was. He spoke to the rational, ethical side of Yosef. He spoke to the emotional side of Yosef by demonstrating that he valued him and that he understood his position, and he was assertive. Things broke down in the negotiations when Yosef was aggressive in response to Yehuda's reasoned arguments. Tensions kept on growing as one responded in kind to the other, and everything would have ended in bloodshed had Yosef then not taken the steps to make peace using his words. How often are we in the same position? We have a conflict. All relationships have conflict. All relationships we have where we need to negotiate, where we need to come to a place of agreement. When the other person is wrong and we want to deal with this, how do we deal with it? John Gottman, a respected psychologist, did research on how couples fight and the best way to resolve those conflicts. He found that those who use a soft startup when there was a conflict could resolve the conflict. A soft startup means not being critical, blaming, or judgmental, but showing respect, stating one's position in a dispassionate kind of way, and trying to find common ground. When we use a soft startup, we are able to communicate. But when we use what is called a harsh startup, which is being critical or blaming or judgmental, we make the other side defensive and feel like they are being attacked, and so then they respond in kind. We see from Yosef's response, which was planned to elicit a reaction, that sarcasm and blame moves the conversation in the wrong direction. What sets it right is the assurances that Yosef was on the brothers' team and he did not blame them. When we have a conflict, we can look back to how Yehuda responded and how Yosef responded and choose how we're going to communicate. Blaming and shaming raises the tensions and raises the possibility that the relationship will be irrevocably harmed and will never be able to be repaired. Showing that we care about the other person and that we have a position and that we respect them lowers the temperature of the conversation and allows there to be not only the issue to be resolved, but the relationship to come back to a place of wholeness. We can take the lessons of this week's Parsha into all our relationships and even repair the relationships that seem broken forever by working on how we communicate and how we demonstrate respect through our words. Have a good Shabbos.